Well, good afternoon. Dave, did you use good leadership skills when you went out there just a minute ago? Okay. You looked like you were on a mission. So, okay. You didn't have to, probably. Well, it's really great to be here. And each week, it's really a privilege to be up here. God has given us a true gift to come together each week as we live out the vision, purpose, and goals of Huddle. And I'm sure I'm no different than every other guy who stands up here to give a talk. I feel very inadequate to be speaking to you. However, I really believe that's a great thing. And I think if we think about it, it's not till we get out of our comfort zone that God can really use us. So with that being said, I'm excited to be here, and we'll get started. The leadership expert John Maxwell says, after more than four decades of observing leadership with my family and many years of developing my own leadership potential, I've come to this conclusion. Leadership is influence. That is it. Nothing more, nothing less. That being said, how many in the room today are leaders? You can put up your hand. We're not going to take notes or write any names down. But I think it's important today that as we're here desiring to be the men that God has created us to be, that we have to acknowledge that we all have influence over people. And in many cases, we have influence over a lot of people and the opportunity to influence people when we think about where we work, our homes, our extended family, our neighbors, our churches, the ball games that our kids and grandkids go to. We really have an opportunity to be involved with a lot of people, which gives us an opportunity to influence others, either positively or negatively. And I'm not speaking about a title or a position today, but of influence. So I want to ask the question again. Who in the room here is a leader? With the expectation that we really are all leaders because we really all have influence. And I want to start with this thought. I'm wearing my best suit again this year, just as I did last year when I stood in front of you. I know that's a scary thought. But it's my power suit, the one we all have, the one we wear to an important meeting, to an interview, when we think that we need to be noticed by just the right people. You know what I'm talking about, right? Well, last year, for those of you that weren't here, under this fine suit, all the undergarments were shredded. And they were representing all the brokenness in my life that was a result of the shame and guilt. And there's no need to worry this year. I'm not going to derobe. There we go. But I do want you to remember this. That God starts to use us when we acknowledge our brokenness and rely solely on Him. It all starts right there. Now, Bible teacher Crawford Loritz says it like this. Brokenness is a permanent sense of God neediness. God does not trust His assignments to people who have not slain the desire to appear significant. You cannot use leadership as an extension of your own need for attention and admiration. You cannot prostitute God's assignments as an opportunity for you to be visible and praised. God doesn't work that way, he says. When he trusts people with his assignments, he first crushes them. He takes our sin, cleans it all up, and uses us to influence and lead people that he's put into our lives. This is the essence of today's chapter, the discipline of leadership. Much has been written about leadership, book after book, and just out of curiosity, I Googled leadership traits. I found results, 8,740,000 results. So then I thought, well, now I'm going to Google godly leadership traits. Came back with 567,000 results. So from a statistical point of view, only about 7% of leadership in our world is of a godly influence. And that's probably stretching it if we really got down to it. But our book states that secular analysis reports there are 350 definitions of leadership. And Warren Bennis, poet, philosopher, scholar of organization life, writes, Leadership is like the abominable snowman, whose footprints are everywhere, but he's nowhere to be seen. The chapter for today gives us 7 qualities essential for spiritual leadership. I've listed them on your handout and certainly encourage you to read that chapter. It's very useful, very helpful material. And today, we've already set the stage with brokenness, and I want to drill deeper into the first 4 essentials that Hughes gives us as we look and think about leadership from the perspective of influence, with the mindset that we're all leading in our sphere of influence, and our leadership is either positive or negative. God wants us to obviously be a positive influence, and to do that, we have to be in a relationship with Him. That's prayer, and be in pursuit of a great vision of God. This is about God being big and us being small. What builds our vision of a big God is meditation on the Lord and action that comes from my communication, study of the Word, and listening to Him. When God becomes big in a man's life, and it's real and genuine, that man becomes an influence for God in the life of another man. It kind of works like this. You like what you see in somebody. They come alongside you. You begin to pray and study together, and your vision of God grows. Assuming you have the right heart motives, you enter into a relationship with God, and you realize how big He is. For me, 12 years ago, a friend came alongside me, and I began to pray and study the Scriptures for the first time, age 34. I should say, he prayed out loud. I prayed inside that he wouldn't ask me to pray out loud. But over the course of the year, my desire was real and genuine, and I was able to comprehend the Scriptures and began to be able to pray out loud and comprehend the Scriptures and enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But that intentional study and the influence of a friend allowed God to transform and fill a huge hole that was in my heart. It's a hole that we all have. We try to fill it up with so many other things, but it's only God that's going to fill that hole that's in our heart. And I praise Him that I wish it would have happened earlier, but I'm thankful that it happened when it did and trusting that His timing is always perfect. And here's the other thought I was thinking. You know, that hole is a bottomless pit. And if we don't keep staying connected, He's got to keep filling it. It isn't like He fills it up and we're good to go and we go on trying to live our own life. We got to stay connected so He can keep it full. I'm convinced that Huddle, where we are today, finishing up the 7th year, would not and could not have happened without the discipline of prayer and a huge vision of God that 5 men had and so many more men still have today. Matter of fact, one of those guys, as you know, Jim Jacobs, he's in heaven living it out. And as most of you know, his leadership and influence was what God really used to make Huddle what it is today. But I still remember going to Granny's Furniture to talk about a Bible study for men. I walked in there ready to put something together and to make something happen in a couple of weeks or a month. That was what was in my mind. But what we did was we prayed and prayed and prayed, literally just prayed. That was early May, and we met for 3.5 months weekly. And it was in the mid-August that we finally talked to some other guys about what we sensed God was doing. And then on September 15, 2004, 80 men showed up for the first huddle. It was 10 tables, and then it was 12 tables and 15 tables and 18 tables in the small gym. And then now it's 21 tables with 9 chairs in this large gym. But that experience for me of prayer and a vision of a huge God is something that's impacted me both personally and professionally. And I know that I'm never going to lose sight of that as I try to positively provide leadership to people in my sphere of influence. But it's a big vision of God that Isaiah had when he said in Isaiah 6:1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of His robe filled the temple." What Isaiah saw was past the leadership of the earthly king Uzziah, and he saw the King of Kings seated on the throne. Isaiah's example lets us know that when we recognize how great our God is, how sinful we are, and the extent of God's forgiveness, we receive power to do His work, which allows us to follow Isaiah's example in verse 8 of that same chapter when he says, "Here I am, send me. And make me an influencer and leader of men for God." Men, if we're not regularly finding ways to enlarge our vision of God and are in a relationship with Him that involves prayer, both speaking to Him and listening to what He has to say and studying His Word, there's no way that we can be positively influencing those in our circles as God would desire us to do. So here's our first challenge from today's teaching. If you're not in a regular prayer with God, just simply begin. Just spend 3 minutes per day and tell God that you want to get in a relationship with Him and know Him more. And just tell Him to reveal to you how big He is. From my experience and from what I know He's going to answer your question. And I think it's just 3 minutes a day. Take next week, 3 minutes a day and do that. You can do that when you get dressed, tie your shoes, or drive to work. There's all kinds of room in our day to plug 3 minutes of just talking to God. We won't even phase anything else. And if you're currently in a relationship with Him and studying and growing, just tell Him, take 3 minutes next week and tell Him, "I want to go to a new level," and watch Him go to work. Now, because we recognize and embrace our brokenness, have a relationship and a great vision of God, the only response is going to be our complete devotion to Him. This has been modeled many, many times throughout Scripture. Abraham was so devoted, he was willing to sacrifice his own son. Daniel was so devoted, he was willing to die in a lion's den rather than give up his prayer life. David was so devoted, he was willing to battle a 9-foot giant. And Jesus was so devoted, he was willing to go to the cross to deal for my sin, to die for my sin, to die for your sin, and all of mankind's sin. Guys, I think it's safe to say we're not going to have the opportunity or the ability of Abraham, Daniel, David, especially Jesus. But however, God has given us all time, talent, and treasure. The way we use these gifts He has given us will allow us to show Him and all the people in our sphere of influence that He is calling us to lead, that our devotion is as real as Abraham and Daniel's and David's. We will be a positive influence. Think for a moment about devotion. Would you not agree that our time, talent, and treasure would be reflective of our devotion to God? So I was thinking about that. I don't really think there's anything else when we come to being devoted. If we're devoted, it's going to be reflective in those three areas. So here's challenge number two from today. In the next 30 days, over the next month, let's take a physical inventory of our time, talent, and treasure. Let's take a piece of paper and write down where our time goes. Let's find a calendar that's got the half an hour, 15-minute increments, whatever, and just be disciplined and write it down where our time goes. Let's write down what we perceive to be the gifts that God's given us, our talents. And then since April 15th just passed, let's get out our tax return, go to Schedule A, line 19, divide that number by your total income, page 1, line 22, and see what percentage of the financial resources that God has given us go to charitable causes. In the performance world that I live in, we like to say that we cannot improve our performance if we don't write down where we are and where we want to go. In other words, we can only improve upon what we measure. This will be a great exercise for us. I realize it's going to be challenging and push some of us out of our comfort zone, including me. But just for a minute, envision Abraham on his way to the mountain with Isaac. And his son says, "Daddy, where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham responded, "God Himself will provide the lamb, my son." Don't you think Abraham had to be way out of his comfort zone? I mean, that's so far out of the box for me, I can't even begin to think about it. But guys, once we have a relationship with God through prayer and a huge vision of who God is, our devotion to Him, it's the logical result, and it's reflective by our time, talent, and treasure. Our prayer, vision, and devotion will continue to allow us to positively influence those around us with humility. as it relates to us taking action for God, it ceases to be about self-promotion and truly begins to be about God getting all the credit. As we continue to understand and develop the mindset that we are all leading through our influence, God gets the credit as we help others become more than they are. We become influencers for God. In Tony Dungy's book, Mentor Leader, he says, before you jump on board, before we go any further, you must ask yourself one question, the answer to which makes all the difference. Am I prepared to have great success and not get any credit for it? He gave the example of Chuck Knoll, the legendary longtime coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers who Tony played for. He said he was an extraordinary leader who won 4 Super Bowls in 6 years. He was never voted Coach of the Year, and people always pointed to the number of Hall of Fame caliber players the Steelers had. Tony says it's just the way Coach Knoll wanted it, never having anyone guess that he might have been responsible for developing all that talent. Tony sums his point up by saying, if you do it right as a mentor leader, you may make it all but impossible for others to give you the credit. John the Baptist said, as it relates to his view in John 3:30, he must become greater, I must become less. And you think that's good, listen to the man Jesus, Luke 22:27. But I am among you as one who serves. I do want to just take a second and recognize some guys. I get to work with some amazing guys at our 2 car dealerships. And they're John and Mike and Scott and Mark, Jim. Many guys come here each week. And I was just thinking about this. They're great men and they're great leaders. And it's because they have a servant's heart. And we're just, at our places of employment, we're so blessed to work with guys that lead like that. And it makes all of us want to follow. So thank you so much. Men, it's the servant's heart that makes all the difference as we influence and lead people in a way that makes God say, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, one last challenge today. Think about your sphere of influence, home, work, neighborhood, church, ball team, scout troop, whoever God is calling or allowing you to lead by serving. The challenge for you and me is in the next 48 hours, 2 days, be intentional and serve someone in a way that can only come from God. There's no way that you're going to do whatever this is needs to be done unless God gets in the middle of it. Man, God has put us all in different places and positions here on earth, but He's given us all influence over others, and He needs us to step up and lead. And remember, leadership is not the position or the title, it's the influence. It starts with embracing our brokenness that puts us into a relationship with Him that begins a great and growing vision of God and calls for our complete devotion to the Lord and gives us a servant's heart of humility. Rather than close in prayer today, I want to listen to a prayer in the song, Lead Me. The lyrics are there at your table, and I want us to meditate as we hear what Mark from Sanctus Real wrote and sings. The link to the YouTube video is on your handout as well. But Mark said it was time for him to make a change, and he was crying out to God to lead him so that he could lead them. Cry out to God, men. He will lead us so we can lead them.